welcome to the Sister Speak True Blood podcast, where we discuss the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 20. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. Well, this week I will be doing the recap for...
Would be short, people.
Well, it'll be way shorter than yours last week.
I know.
So, I'll be recapping I Got a Right to Sing the Blues.
I like that title.
Which is episode 30 of True Blood.
Okay.
Okay. We start out by seeing King Russell leading Sookie into his mansion while Bill is being pushed by one of the guards into the foyer of the house. Bill's thrown to the floor while Lorena comes down the stairs and Eric and Talbot come into the foyer. King Russell tells them that Bill's been hiding something from them and looks at Sookie. Bill grabs a post from the banister, stakes, and kills the guard, and he falls into a big jello mess of red blood nastiness.
It was gross.
And then he jumps on the back of King Russell's neck and tries to stake him, but Russell kind of flings him off, and he flies into the ceiling and lands onto the stairs. All throughout this, Talbot's screaming because he can't believe the mess that's being made. The king laughs and tells Bill that he's almost 3,000 years old. Sookie tries to run to Bill, but Eric intercepts her and leads her back to the king, telling him that he doesn't know what it is, but that it's very valuable. Eric tells the king that he's never tasted it, and when Sookie asks Eric what it's doing, he says, "Aw, it thinks we're equals." And Talbot and Eric kind of laugh. Talbot's upset that the king doesn't seem to care about the house, and Russell tells him, "Not now." Talbot yells at him and walks off, speaking in another language, but you can tell he's cussing. Yeah. Lorena is looking worried and kind of nervous and asks the king what he plans to do with Bill, and he tells the guards to take him to the slave quarters and then tells Lorena that she's got to go kill him. Lorena starts to protest, and the king turns around and yells at her to not defy him because he's her king. She backs down and bows and says, "Your Majesty," and kind of looks down to the ground. King Russell tells Eric to take Sookie to the library so he can ask her some questions after he repairs the state of his marriage, and he walks up the stairs after Talbot. Sookie tells Lorena that she will kill her if she thinks about killing Bill. Lorena bares her fangs and walks up to Sookie to tell her that she would love for her to try because she would love to rip her open and wear her ribcage like a hat, especially since Godric is not there to save her. Mm. Eric doesn't like this and kind of growls at her and steps closer to Sookie because he's trying to figure out what she's going to do. Mm-hmm. Lorena leaves and then Sookie asks Eric if he was acting this way just for the benefit of the king. Eric says, "No, nobody plays the king and I'm not about to." And as she keeps talking, he covers her mouth while walking her to the library because he don't want to hear her anymore. Sookie's mad, of course, at all this and asks Eric if it was just BS when he said that he cared about her. Eric says, "You know, look, I'm not thinking about all that right now." She mocks Eric, and especially when he told her that she meant so much to him and he felt almost human. Eric gets mad at this and gets in her face and tells her that she means nothing to him and that he's close to getting something he's wanted since before he became a vampire and she's not going to get in his way. About this time, King Russell enters the room while buckling up his pants saying a husband work is never done.
Nasty.
Well, hey. He got to go take care of business. Eric stands up with his back to the king, and when he turns around, he's grinning. King Russell tells him to leave them alone, and Eric does, grinning the whole way out the door. Mm-hmm. Once they're alone, the king demands that Sookie tell him what she is. Sookie tells him that she is a waitress, and the king tells her that he's a patient man but has his limits. We next see the king stoking a fire with a poker, and Sookie's looking at him and flinching every time he kind of swings it. He puts it away and tells her that it's time to start answering his questions, and she tells him, well, that she has some questions for him, too. He tells her there's a fine line between being feisty and delusional, and that she is in no position to negotiate. I love that line.
Yeah.
She tells him that he doesn't know whether it's she has nothing to negotiate or not. And he seems to like this and said, this is getting interesting. She tells him that she'll answer his questions if he answers one of hers. She asks him if he's the king of all vampires and if he has a crown. He tells her, no, he's just the king of Mississippi and that he has several crowns. He asks her again what she is because she's definitely not human. She tells him that her parents were human and her grandfather was like her. She tells him that she can hear people's thoughts and those of shifters and werewolves, but not vampires. She asks him then if Lorena is really going to kill Bill and starts to cry when he tells her that Lorena will if she knows what's good for her, but that she'll take her time because she's going to have a hard time letting go. Sookie begs Russell to stop Lorena, and Russell says, well, why would you want me to? He gets up to get her the file and tells her about the secret file that Bill was keeping of her and her family. Sookie looks at the file, but she kind of seems confused and doesn't really know what she's looking at. And then King Russell tells her it's his turn and asks her what she is besides telepath and what makes the light come out of her hands. Sookie tells him that she doesn't know and that she's never knew that she could do it until recently. He asks her if there are other powers, and she tells him it's her turn to ask a question. King Russell jumps up and yells at her in what I think is German. And bares his fangs, and then again asks her in English if she has other powers. She's scared, of course, and tells him that she once threw a chain at someone, and it wraps around its neck, it wraps around their neck by itself like the face crab thing from Alien.
That was a funny line.
That was cute. King Russell seems to calm down after she tells him this and takes the file from her and saying that he now knows why the queen was so fascinated with her. Sookie says, there's a queen? And Russell laughs and tells her that she really doesn't know anything. And Sookie just looks confused and scared and crying and everything else. We next see Lorena starting a record on an old-fashioned record player, and it's actually Billie Holiday singing I Got a Right to Sing the Blues.
It's a phonograph.
Okay, whatever. And it's Billie Holiday's I Got a Right to Sing the Blues, and she tells Bill how she misses the 1930s when people knew what was expected of them and did it to avoid causing their loved ones pain. She walks over to a table full of knives and scalpels and all kinds of shit.
She's sadistic.
And tells him that she may not be able to make him feel anything for her, but she's going to make him feel something. Bill tells her that she's always enjoyed making people suffer. And she tells him there's nothing wrong with that, especially since she's suffered. He tells her that she hasn't had to suffer at the hands of others in a long time. And she yells at him that she's suffering now. She takes a scalpel and cuts into his chest and then cuts her finger and rubs the blood from her finger into his chest, and he's groaning and stuff. He tells her to end him quickly, and she tells him that now she will be inside him when he dies and not Sookie. He tells her that he wished he could have known her before she was made and turned hard and could have seen her smile with a light in her eyes instead of darkness. It was kind of sweet. Lorena cries and tells him that she has no choice and start slicing them. We next see Tara tied to the bed in her long white nightgown looking around the room when Franklin comes in some gold silk pajamas. Tara smiles and asks him where he's been, and he says, look, Tara, I will not be policed. And she says, oh, no, baby, I just missed you. He seems upset that she hasn't noticed that he shaved, and he says he did it because he wanted to look good for her. He jumps up on the bed and straddles her and tells her that Sookie's in the mansion. He's brought to the mansion, which means that his work for the king's over and she has him all to herself. Tara starts looking at him and says, well, don't be promising me stuff that you can't deliver, and sits up to kiss him, all while her hands are all jacked behind her, tied up to the bed. Mm. She tells him to untie her because her having her hands free is going to be better for him. So he unties her, and when she gets free, she starts kissing his neck and tells him that since she's going to have his blood tomorrow night, she wants to have it now while she's human so she can have the best sex a human can have before she gives herself to him in death. He gets excited by all this and is really getting into it and tells her to bite him and rip his flesh And when he does, she starts looking at his neck all crazy and like, oh shit, I really gotta do this. Mm. He gets more and more into it. And so she bites into him and starts pulling on his neck. And he is loving it. Getting all excited. Mm. It was nasty. We next see Eric and Talbot at a table playing cards. And Talbot tells Eric that Russell taught him this game when he was still human. So Eric then asks how long they've been together. And Talbot says just under 700 years. But sometimes it feels like 7 million. So Eric then kind of is flirting with Talbot and says, well, I hope the king knows how lucky he is. And Talbot looks at him and says, oh, he does, believe me.
Yeah.
So we next see, so while they're playing cards, King Russell comes out of the library with Sookie and tells a guard to take her upstairs and to have a car brought around. Talbot asks him where he's going, and he says he's got more business to take care of. He asks Eric if he'd like to ride with him, and Eric immediately jumps up and says yes. Talbot gets upset and tells Russell that he never takes him anywhere, and that he only wants to be around his underlings, basically. He storms off, and Russell kind of looks at Eric like, what you gonna do? Russell tells Eric that they're gonna go see an old friend of his. At this point, we see Sookie being thrown into the bedroom, and she's screaming around for Bill and starts crying and laying on the bed. She then hears Tara's thoughts, and Tara's telling her that she's going to come for her tomorrow when the vampires are asleep and just to start thinking about how they're going to get out of there. We see Tara laying in the bed with blood all down her gown and all over the bed with Franklin sleeping, spooning her basically with his arm around her. He tells her that she has no idea what it's like on the other side. There's no more pain, fear, or rules. She's looking all scared and nervous, though. We see Russell and Eric in the car driving, and Russell asks him what his relationship to Sookie is. Eric tells him or explains to him that Bill is one of his constituents or was, and that Sookie was of interest to his queen, and so that's basically how they know each other. He tells the king that he does not get attached to humans, and his tastes lie elsewhere while looking in the king's eyes and smiling with his little grin. The king looks at him too and is kind of smiling. So the king asks or tells him that he heard that Lorena told him that he killed one of his werewolves. Eric tells him he was just defending himself and hates werewolves and didn't know it was one of his werewolves. He tells the king that he's the only vampire he's met that doesn't feel the same. The king says, oh yeah, I feel the same way. He said they're more dog than human. And really, they're more stupid than dogs, but he finds them useful and wants to use them more than kill them. He tells Eric that he gives the werewolves the blood, and Eric says and tells Eric his dream of all the supernaturals coming together so they can conquer the humans. Eric tells him that he likes this dream, and Russell says that Adolf Hitler was right about one thing, that there was a master race, but it wasn't the human race. Eric notices that they miss the exit to Shreveport, and the king then tells them that they're not going there, but that they'll deal with his magister problem, you know, in time. So we next see the queen on the floor of her, by the pool of her day room, scratching, and she's got a whole bunch of scratch-off lottery tickets.
Ooh, I love it.
And I know you do. And she is hollering that she's done won another $100, and she wants Ludus and Hadley to run off to the Circle K to get her some more. The king arrives behind her, and she jumps up quick, and she realizes that he's killed some of her guards. He tells her only a few of them, since the others were unwilling to die for her and defected. She's looking at him and asking him, what did he want, and where's her Hadley? And he says, oh, you're human, it's fine. He's not here to slaughter for no reason. He tells her he wants her hand in marriage and will never touch her and settle all of her financial debts. She kind of rolls her eyes and says, I've declined now and I'm not about to change my mind. He tells her that he will also keep the magister from finding out about the V she's selling. She tells him that she's pinned that on Eric, so she's fine. And then he tells her that the IRS is after her and the American Vampire League will allow them to put her in jail as an example. She tells him that they have no dominion over her because she's a queen. The king laughs at her and says that he has met some of the finest queens in history, and she is not one of them. He turns away from her, and Eric comes in real quick, throws her to the ground, holding her by her neck. She bares her fangs and growls at him, and he smiles and tells her that he's older and stronger than her, and he only submitted to her in the past out of respect because she was his queen. He says, but now that she's framed him, he's renouncing all allegiance to her and now belongs to Russell. He tells her he's going to rip her head off and throw it in the pool, but the king stops him. She finally agrees to marry him, and the king tells them that they'll stay there the night and then stop in Shreveport on the way back to Jackson the next night. Eric apologizes to the queen for possibly overstepping his bounds, and the king tells him that he enjoyed it. Eric starts flirting with the king and then acts like he looks uncomfortable and tells him that he'll restrain his bride for him. He picks the queen up like she doesn't weigh nothing, which she really don't, and walks away with her all the while she's yelling for her Hadley, which was kind of funny. So we go to Merlot's, and we see Jessica sitting at the bar while Arlene is waiting on a customer who seems to be asking her every detail of their menu. Arlene gets short with the lady, and the lady tells her to quit mouthing off to her if she wants to keep her cheap dyed hair, since she's paying good money to eat there. Arlene walks off and over to Lafayette, who's playing pool with Jesus. She tells him that she has a customer with a long order, and Lafayette's like, well, we're closed, ain't we? And she's like, well, hey, this is what she wants. Jesus offers to help Lafayette and Lafayette asks him if he can cook. Jesus tells him that he can do a lot of things, and Lafayette turns around to watch the kitchen and says, oh, Lordy. Arlene's cutting lemons at the bar, complaining about the lady when she cuts her finger. Jessica sees the blood and her fangs pop out. Arlene screams and puts her fingers up in the shape of a crucifix and begs Jessica not to kill her because she's pregnant. Jessica tells her that sometimes it just happens and that she's not going to hurt her. Arlene backs away from her and tells her this is why people hate them. Jessica puts her fangs away and said that she just hasn't eaten in days. So we see Jessica watching the lady, Arlene's customer, eat. When Arlene comes in and complains about leaving her kids with Terry for too long, she gets nervous when she realizes that Lafayette is gone and tells Jessica that her necklace is pure silver and she takes garlic supplements. Jessica tells her that her fangs popped out, but that doesn't mean she's going to use them on her. Arlene tells her it's just been a bad night and that all her customers have stiffed her. Jessica tells her that she's going to take care of her customer for her, and Arlene tells her not to kill the woman. Jessica just kind of looks at her like, okay.
Yeah, right.
So Jessica goes over to the woman's table and glamours her and tells her that she's no longer hungry, to leave all her money on the table and then go to the ladies' room. Jessica tells Arlene that the lady's going to be gone soon and kind of walks to the back of the restaurant. The lady goes to the ladies' room, and when she walks in, Jessica grabs her and bites on her neck and shuts the door. Arlene is counting the money from her table and hears noises coming from the bathroom, so she knocks on the door to see if the lady's okay. When the lady comes out of the bathroom and tells her that she's the best waitress she ever had. She also has her scarf that she had around her hair curlers tied around her neck and leaves. Jessica walks up behind Arlene and tells her the night ended well with her getting a nice tip and no one getting killed. So Jessica's happy that she could do it and not kill a lady. We next see Lafayette and Jesus sitting in Lafayette's car talking. And they're talking about Lafayette never moving away from Bontemps and Jesus living all over the world. He tells Lafayette that his mother was raped and he doesn't know who his father is. And Lafayette thinks that they do have some things in common and they can relate to each other. And so Jesus kind of gets close to Lafayette and asks if he can kiss him. Lafayette's looking shy and uncomfortable and really doesn't say anything. And Jesus says that he has a rule of no sex on the first date. So Lafayette kind of says, okay. As they get closer, Jesus tells him that he sometimes has a hard time keeping that rule. And Lafayette tells him that they should follow that rule for now. He tells Jesus that he feels intense feelings for him and isn't sure that he should trust it. And then they start kissing. We next see Lafayette and Jesus going into Lafayette's house. And Jesus notices this kind of shrine that Lafayette has in his house with these different religious figures. Jesus tells him the names that he calls these little figures and that he gives them offerings to appease them. And Lafayette and Jesus start kissing. about this time, and they hear noises outside and some glass breaking. They run out the house, and they see the rednecks from Hot Shot breaking out the windows on Lafayette's car. They call them both some gay slurs and keep hitting his car with a baseball bat. Jesus kind of sneaks up behind them and snatches the bat away from one of them, and then Lafayette starts beating up the one guy and tells him that he's going to get his effing car fixed for him. The guy asks him, well, how am I supposed to do that? With what money? And he tells the guy, sell some of that shit I dropped by your house the night before. And the guy's like, well, I'm not selling that V stuff. Jesus stops Lafayette when he looks like he's about to really kill the redneck. And the rednecks run off. Jesus asks him if he's a drug dealer and sells V. And Lafayette tells him, yeah, I do. And Jesus gets pissed off and tells him to take him back to his car. So then we see Jason and Crystal making out by the woods, in the woods by the lake on the ground. And Jason tells her he loves how warm she is. And Kristen tells him she feels like she's on fire. Jason tells her not to hurt him or do. And Crystal stops and tells him that she isn't into any pervert stuff. Jason tells her that's not what he meant and that he meant for her not to break his heart. Crystal starts kind of tearing up, kind of crying a little bit, and tells him this isn't right and that she just wanted something that she could remember forever, something for herself. Jason tells her he will take care of her and she has no reason to cry. They start kissing again, but then Crystal hears a noise and looks up and sniffs around the air and tells Jason that she's got to go. She tells him that they can't be together because it's too dangerous for both of them, and she runs off into the woods. The next day, we see... Well, really, I think it is the next day. It's daylight. You can see light coming through.
Yeah.
In the slave quarters, Lorena is licking blood away from a large machete-looking knife. Mm. She's got blood tear stains on her face. She's got blood all over her hands and clothes from torturing Bill. And Bill's laying in a pool of blood on the floor and tells her that she should just go to ground. She tells him that she can't not be with him when the life flows out of him. And Bill tells her, well, what you gonna do? He said, you're just gonna find another man and turn him into a hateful thing like yourself. She tells him that, oh, of course, you think it's all my fault and that she forced him to do all the things that they did to humans all those years. She tells him to be a man and admit that he liked it. He tells her, she didn't force him, but that he didn't like doing all that. He tells her that she would lure men to her maker and allow him to murder and defile them while she watched. She gets upset and tells him that she's not Itzvon, and Bill tells her that he made her into his mirror, and she tried to make Bill into hers. He tells her that her nature was never his, and that he welcomes death because then he will truly be free of her. She's upset and crying, and at this point, Cooter and Debbie burst into the room, and when they do, the sunlight burns Lorena a little bit. They said that they're there to feed off of Bill. And, of course, at first, Lorena seems like she's upset, but then she remembers all the shit Bill said to her and says, go on ahead. Mm-hmm. She's kind of upset with them because she knows they're supposed to be patrolling the grounds. But she tells them to go ahead and suck on Bill. Cooter kicks Bill for each of the werewolves he killed, and they start feeding off of him while Lorena watches and cries. We go to see Tommy sitting on the couch in Sam's trailer watching a debate on the news with Nan Flanagan from the American Vampire League and David Finch, the Louisiana state representative that we saw hooking up with Lafayette in season one.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it season two? I can't remember. Season one.
Mm-hmm.
Sam tells Tommy that he wants him to tell him what happened between him and Jolie the night before. And Tommy tells him that Jolie was just drunk and he just didn't want to deal with Jolie that time. Sam's not convinced and thinks that he's the one that scarred Tommy up and beat on him. Tommy tells him that Jolie has never laid a hand on him, and Sam tells him that they're going to talk about it sometime that day. Melinda comes in and brings her secret recipe corn fritters fried in bacon grease, which sound real good. She asks him if she could have a talk with Tommy, and Sam leaves them alone. Melinda is upset that Tommy seemed to turn his back on her and Jolie, and she tells him that he's only there because Jolie convinced her to continue with her pregnancy, back in the day because she was going to end it because it was going to take her off the circuit for too long. She said that Jolie did that because he thought Tommy might be a shifter like her. Tommy's mad at that and says that Jolie's just using them. And she tells him that he's never left them and that she's all they have because she can't go into the ring anymore and because her back is shot and she needs him. She tells him that Sam is blood but not family and he looks down on them and that they're all that each other has and he knows it. And Tommy kind of looks away and is like, damn, he knows it. We see Jason driving up to a rundown house, which we now know is in Hot Shot, and goes to the door with a bouquet of white roses. A man comes up to the door, and he's got his face is all beat up, so we know he's probably one of the guys that was messing with Lafayette. Jason asks for Crystal, and when she comes to the door, she acts like she doesn't know who he is. She tells him to leave her and her fiancé alone. Jason looks hurt and leaves, and also forgot to mention he was wearing his high school letter jacket. And pulled that shit out somewhere. We're at Merlot's, and we see Lafayette cooking, and Arlene tells him about an order she's gotten to tell him that he makes sure he makes the eggs runny. Lafayette goes off on her, tells her he knows how to cook, and if she got an effing problem. Arlene says no, she doesn't, and turns around and get back to pouring coffee for someone. When Sam comes over to ask her if she's seen Tommy, she says no, and then asks him about his no pet policy at the apartments that he rents out to her and Terry. He says that he still doesn't allow pets, and she says, well, then how come I saw your family loading a pit bull into their van this morning? Sam runs out the bar and runs to his trailer to go check for Tommy. We next see Andy coming into Merlot's, where Sam has obviously called him and told him he needs to see him real quick. And asks Andy if he's knows of any dogfighting rings in Bon Temps. Andy tells him no, that he really can't give him any information about police stuff. And Sam tells him that he saved his life once, so he owes him. So Andy tells him that he's heard of some raids in Union Parish. And Sam runs out the bar, jumps in his truck, checks his glove box for his gun, and drives off. He's driving so erratically that he almost runs into Jason. And Jason kind of yells after him. He notices Kitch, that little high schooler, Kitch's Mustang parked in the side parking lot and sees him inside with his girlfriend having sex. Jason pulls him out the car and pushes him down on the hood and tells him it's against the law to have lewd acts in public and he's going to keep his eye on him now that he's becoming a police officer. We see Tara in the bed with Franklin. And she's awake, and of course he's asleep, and she's trying to ease away from him. She goes to the wall with all these medieval weapons, axes and stuff, and chooses this large mallet-looking thing with the spiked ball on the end. Mm-hmm. Big, it looks like it's heavy. She then bashes Franklin multiple times in the head and squishes his head, and they actually show it. Mm. She ends up being covered in blood and tissue, and throws the little mallet thing down and grabs her clothes and runs out the door. When we next see Tara, she's all cleaned up and carrying a bowl of almonds down the hall to the room where Sookie is in and being guarded by Gus, Don Swayze. She tells him that Talbot only wants her to eat almonds because they're planning on serving her blood for dinner. Gus says he doesn't know anything about that. And she says, open the fucking door. If you don't, Calvin's going to be pissed. And Russell's going to be pissed. And you guys ain't getting no blood. He lets Tara in. And she walks into the room to see Hookie hiding behind the door. She turns around and says, well, dang, he didn't let her escape. And when he goes in to check, Sookie hits him in the stomach with this big metal vase. Her and Tara start trying to fight him, and he fights back, of course, and slaps Tara down on the ground and pushes Sookie. They finally overpower him and knock him out, and Tara grabs Sookie, and they run down the hallway and down the stairs. As they're getting ready to leave the front door, Tara's telling Sookie that they're going to have to find a car. Sookie tells her she's not leaving without Bill. Tara is pissed by this and tells Sookie she ain't dying for somebody who's dead. And Sookie says that she's adamant she's not leaving without him and tells Tara to just go find them a way out. We see Tara running away from the house and running close to the woods. and she sees this white wolf and starts running harder in the other direction. The wolf runs after her, and then all of a sudden, Alcide appears and tells her to stop. But booty naked.
Booty naked.
He tells her that he's one of the good guys and is looking for Sookie. Tara asks him if he has a car, and he kind of shakes his head that he does. We then see Sookie run to the slave quarter building, and as she does, she sees Cooter and Debbie coming out of the building covered in blood, laughing and kissing each other. They tell each other they love each other, and she tells him to take her to Forever Young to buy her something, and he tells her, better yet, I'll steal you, whatever you want. They run off, and when they do, Sookie goes into the building and sees Bill on the floor covered in blood. She runs to him and tries to wake him up and cries and tells him that he can't be dead and that she loves him and she won't let him go. He kind of wakes up a little bit, and she's still crying and telling him how much she loves him. When Lorena comes up behind her and says, how sweet, and grabs Sookie and throws hers across the room. She tells Sookie that this is all her fault and then bites Sookie's neck, and then Sookie screams, and that's the end of the episode.
Ooh, this was a really good episode.
Really good.
You know, there's so much good stuff in it, but I just loved King Russell and Eric in this episode. Eric had me dying. He was shinning and grinning the whole time.
Shinning and grinning.
Oh, and of course, we know him. He is up to something.
But you know what? You know. To me, it's too obvious. I think he thinks he's being slick. And I guess, you know, he's assuming that since Russell doesn't know him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that he doesn't grin like this all the time.
But right.
To me, it's just so, he's too, I don't know.
I don't think so. And I don't think either King Russell or Talbot, you know anything or the wiser, because as you point out, they don't know him. But I mean, even though he grins at Talbot, but he does it in a different way. But you could tell, it seems to me anyway, you could tell once they get to Sophie Ann and that whole scene that I think King Russell's buying it.
Well, he had to get kind of... Well, first of all, I think Eric's pissed.
Well, he is very mad.
She's
but
done
no.
all this and has put his baby Pam in jeopardy. Right.
Well,
but he's
that's
also
not
trying
what I mean.
To prove to Russell that
exactly.
he is with him.
But that's not what I mean. What I mean is, after he's done... Sophie Ann has, you know, acquiesced to, yeah, they're going to get married and stuff. And... just the way Eric is interacting with King Russell and just the way King Russell is kind of looking at him, he's getting so I think he trusts him.
I don't really think so. Yeah. I think the king is too old and smart for all that. And, I mean, yeah, Eric's flirting with him and kind of like looking in his eyes and grinning at him. And mm-hmm. then he kind of like touching his chest a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think the king is milking it. But I don't think the king really trusts him because he's still part of that whole area where all this... He knows that Eric's wanting him to take care of his shit.
That's true.
And that he's going to say and do whatever until he gets his...
Of which the next episode's... Know. Oh, it's going to be good because they got to at least go back to Fantasia.
I hope they do.
Yeah.
They
in that next episode. So
I don't think the king is really that gullible, but, you know, you never know.
Well... I'm thinking he is.
And the king, you know, he's been with Talbot for years.
That's true.
So, if anything, the king might be a little bit... I think Talbot, of course, is jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's always got to share the king with all these other people.
Mm-hmm.
And he never gets... Russell never takes him anywhere. You know.
Well,
so he's
that's
mad.
True.
He didn't really get mad... when the king said that he was going out, he got mad when he was going to take Eric with him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and that whole scene at the very beginning of the episode when Bill staked that guard.
Oh, that
and Talbot was like, ah!
I know, he was screaming like a little girl.
And then
you
when
know?
The king, I mean, the king didn't even flinch. He just kind of basically shrugged his shoulders and Bill flew all up
in the ceiling. And then Talbot was really upset
was
because...
Like, ah!
Bill cracked the ceiling.
Yeah.
And you know how he is about his house.
Uh-huh.
Or the mansion. So, ooh,
and I like
mad.
How the king was like, I'm over almost
3,000
years old. You mm-hmm. can't
shag with me, boy? I know.
You know, so, like, you can't.
You know, but
me.
Did you see Eric looking? And you could see the wheels in Eric's mind already. Oh, okay.
Well, all their little fangs were out.
Yeah, but I know he's thinking, dang, how am I gonna kill him? Because he is almost 3,000 years old.
Yeah.
And I did some little research on it. That means that King Russell was made whatever he was in like 990 BC.
Well,
in the time that we count time. In 990 BC, that's when he was either born, made a vampire, or made whatever else he is, and all that. I mean, So he is really old.
And that's why I think he's seen and done it all.
Oh, absolutely. So. And that's why I love that line when he told Sophie Ann, you're no queen.
Oh, I love that.
I've known some of finest queens in the world, and honey, you are not a queen.
The whole episode, I was loving the king.
I love King Russell.
The whole...
I know.
I mean, he's like, boy, I'm old. And you can't do me. And then the whole scene with him and Sookie.
Oh, that was priceless.
I loved it.
He had me done.
Girl, there's a fine line between being feisty and delusional.
And delusional.
And then when he would laugh and say, oh, my dear girl, you poor little thing. You don't know nothing.
I know. She said, there's a queen? Oh, you poor thing. You don't know nothing, do you?
Oh, sweet thing. Sweet little baby.
You know
but
what,
when
though?
When she was asking him, it was cute to me. When she was asking him, are you the king of all vampires?
I know. That was
and
so
was like,
cute.
Oh, no. And the way he talks, I just love it. He's still that, like, Southern gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh no, I'm just the king of Mississippi.
I know.
And do you have a crown? He's like, I got several.
I know. But you know,
he can get rowdy quick.
Oh yeah. I mean,
because when he jumped up and was saying whatever
he
was saying,
that's what you love about King Russell, and that is he is so gentlemanly and genteel and everything, but he can get ugly quick.
Yes.
You know, and like he said, I'm usually a patient person, but my patience is not without limits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just love that character, though. But I love all the interactions with him and Talbot and him and Eric. I don't know what he's going to be doing with Sophie Ann, though.
Well, he wants to marry her. I mean, he doesn't want to kill.
He wants her territory.
He stopped Eric from killing her because he doesn't want her dead. He wants to join forces so he could take over more area.
Yeah.
Which, you know, why he doesn't have more area now. You know, I guess they all have to move themselves up through the ranks. But, yeah, he wants all the information he can get on her so that he can take over. And even once they get married, I have no doubt he's going to push her to the side and try to rule everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that was funny when she says, why would I marry you? I didn't, I told you no 5-6 times. She says, well, in addition to never touching you. And I thought, well, yeah, because you don't want no women. Yeah. That was hilarious. That was hilarious. And I think it is so funny how she just, okay, she don't care what's happening. Just, you know, where's Hadley? Give me my Hadley.
Funny. Well, just like he is with Talbot. Although Talbot's a vampire and Eric is with Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Hadley's not a vampire,
that's her human, yeah.
Her love interest, so... Yeah, I like that. She's like,
hey. Okay, so we done talked about King Russell. Oh, let's talk about Tara. Oh, poor thing.
Ooh.
But you know what? Just a little bit of the old Tara was back.
Well, I'm glad that she stopped being Frady Cat looking.
Yeah.
And started playing him.
She still has those looks, though, but at least her mind is focused enough that she knows, okay, I have to do this if I want to survive. Because he's going to make me a vampire tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to do something.
I got
to take it in gear. Yeah. But,
oh, but that
I loved
it. Too nasty.
Oh, but that's... Okay.
Well, the scene where she's biting him...
Oh, I felt so sorry for her.
No.
I felt so bad for her because she had to actually for really bite his ass. You know, and I'm thinking, poor Tara.
No.
You know.
And he was loving it. He's like, ooh, yeah.
But now my first question was when she went and got that that big old mallet thing with the spikes on it off the wall, I was sitting there thinking, okay, those were medieval, like, little
fighting weapons
and stuff. So I'm sure they weren't made of silver, because in those days they were made out of brass, which means that Franklin's going to heal himself.
Well, first of all, she didn't cut his head off.
That's true.
She didn't stake him.
Mm-hmm.
And even though his head's bashed in, I don't think he's dead. I mean,
no.
I don't think he's dead.
He's going to heal himself.
I think it'll take him a couple days.
Like Laredo, when she was on fire, she said, well, just a minute. You know, going to take me a minute to heal myself.
I'll heal eventually. But I mean, I think it'll take him a couple days. But yeah.
Oh, she is in trouble.
Dead.
No, and he is coming. Oh, he going to come after
her.
That
was an awful scene.
Oh, that was good, though. Because when Tara got up out that bed, I thought, oh, good, she's going to get away. But when she went over to that wall, I thought, no, she isn't. And when she was bashing him, I was cracking up. I said, yeah, hit him again.
No, I wasn't cracking up. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can barely watch it.
Oh, because no, it was great.
Every so often, they would show you the head being squished. And I was like, ooh, no.
And she also, it looked like his part of his chest was caved, too, like the upper part of his chest.
No, just his head.
Oh, it looked like
that
to me.
But she had particles on her.
Yeah, well, I loved that scene. I thought it was great. And she just kept hitting and hitting and hitting. And I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy.
I was thinking, girl, you better pick up that axe and cut it off.
Uh-huh. So I want to know, where did she get the clothes?
Those were her clothes that she had.
Okay, so that's what she picked up off the floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before he made her put on that nightgown.
Okay. And then when she came back to Don Swayze,
Gus.
The werewolf, Gus, and was her sassy self. Oh, man, that was excellent. I loved it. And then when she went in the room, what'd y'all do? Let her escape. But you know what? That whole scene was so good because it reinforced what King Russell was saying to Eric in the car. No, I just use them werewolves, you know.
They're dumb.
They're dumber than a dog.
Yep.
And he was dumb, too. He said, what? No, she didn't escape. Now, he ought to know. There's no way in and out that room but that door.
Yeah.
You know? And he gonna walk in there. Oh, where's she at? Oh, Lord. That was funny.
That was really, I like the whole Tara and Sookie against the world.
I do, too.
Because it kind of gets them back to friends. And Tara's like, I'm not dying for that fool.
Yeah.
He tried. He was going to let them get me. So I'll leave his ass here.
And that's a perfect reaction I would have, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When he didn't try to help me, oh, hell no. I'd say, oh, hell no. But, you know, still, she had to go find some transportation or find something. And once again, she's running. She looked just like a runaway slave.
Where the hell, my thing at first was, where the hell is she running? Why would you run away from the house? To me, I'd run like behind the house, try to find the car.
Well, no, this is like an old plant, set up like an old plantation. So there's nothing behind the house and around the house. Everything's further out. So like wherever their vehicles and stuff would be, that's going to be further away from the mansion part.
I don't know.
That's the
She's running a wrong direction to me.
Well, not to me, because she was trying to see if there was maybe some old automobile, you know, something. And then, of course, she saw the wolf. So, you know. That part was good, too, because at first I thought, uh-oh, one of Cooter's little buddies.
Buddies,
honey. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and that's another thing. Cooter is going to be in trouble when King Russell get back.
Oh, they all are.
Because he was gallivanting around with Debbie. Instead of patrolling the grounds like he was supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
Now, this is my thing. How they going to get... There's no way they're going to get Tara out of that slave quarters unless they stake her.
Lorena.
Lorena. So they're going to have to stake her while she's probably biting on Sookie, because if she see him coming, no. Because she's got that vampire speed, so...
Well, Lorena's distraught. She's
feeding
on
Sookie. Well,
that's true. And if the only thing I can think of is Alcide's going to get, you know, and Tara are going to get there and save her. Because there's no one else there because Eric and the king are in wherever the queen lives. We don't really know what city that is.
Isn't that New Orleans? Isn't she in New Orleans? I think,
well, in the books, that's where she is. But so there's no one else that's going to be able to save them except for Alcide and Tara.
That's
so
true.
My only thing is I think that because, like you said, Lorena's occupied, sucking on Sookie, they're going to have to come in and do something.
Yeah.
To save her.
So, and you know, I just thought of it too. She's got all those tools and utensils laid out on the table. So maybe Tara or Alcide will grab one of those and slice the neck off. Yeah.
I don't know.
Behead her or something. I don't know, but that's going to be interesting to see. I
can't wait to see it.
I know, because we know Sookie gets away, or they get her away.
She can't die.
You know, so, man.
She can't die.
Okay, let's talk about Lafayette.
Ooh, Lafayette.
Poor Lafayette.
Well, Lafayette is so cute.
He is just adorable.
All his bravado and shit talking. And he was so shy and bashful when Jesus was trying to flirt with him and stuff.
It was so cute. That was such a well-done scene. And I loved it, like, once they went in to Lafayette's house. And so Jesus seems to be impressed. He says, oh, man, this is really good. And Lafayette, really? That is so cute.
But Lafayette again said his same comment he said to Tara, Satan in a Sunday hat.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice that? In the car.
In the car.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, because why did you think before that you couldn't relate to me? You know, because when Jesus was telling him, well, you know, I don't know who my father is because my mother was raped and I was went all around the world. And so Lafayette saying, I really think I could, finally relate to you. He said, well, why would you think that you couldn't before? That's when he said that.
Yeah. But he got over it pretty quick and was macking on down.
Mm-hmm. He sure was. And if it wasn't for them rednecks.
Oh, yeah. They would have hooked up.
I swear. But I also like the fact that when Jesus says, so you're a drug dealer? And Lafayette just matter of fact, yeah. You know, because that's one of the things he does.
But it was the V part of it that I think got Jesus. So we need to find out what that's about.
Yeah.
We already know something's not quite kosher.
With Jesus, yeah.
And something's going to have to be happening. But why was he so upset about V? Him selling it. And he just totally turned himself around. He's like, oh, okay.
Take me to my car.
And Lafayette now is pissed.
He is.
Going off on Arlene.
He said, take me to my car. And Lafayette says, okay, bitch. And then rednecks tore up that beautiful car.
Tore that shit.
Oh, you know what? Oh, yeah. I would make them pay for that. Oh, yeah. They'd have to pay for that.
I don't know how he's going to make them do it, but he's mad enough now that he probably could tear them up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he could always tear them up, like one-on-one, but not three.
Three.
With two of them holding him and stuff. Yeah. See, because, you know, that's what little punk bullies do.
Yeah.
They do it in a group, see. And now we could tell that Crystal's fiance is the redneck that Lafayette beat up. And he had all bruises and stuff. You know what, though? I don't like her.
I don't either.
I don't like her. I don't like her character, but I don't like her. So I don't care nothing about her. I don't care what she is. I don't care that, you know, she's going to break Jason's heart. I don't like her. She's trashy, or she's too trashy or something. I don't like her.
That's what they're trying to portray.
And when they was out in the woods, and she all of a sudden stopped and was sniffing the air, I think she was sniffing them running in. See, she was sniffing those rednecks running, because they ran through the woods. Mm-hmm. See?
To Lafayette.
Yeah, house. So that's when she said, ooh, I got to go. See?
But she played it off pretty. She's like, I don't know you. Ooh, you.
Oh, that was cold-blooded.
Uh-huh. And what is Jason bringing his damn letter jacket out?
Oh, because he's, you know.
That's how he feels, I guess, the most confident or something.
Yeah, you know, like.
His old high school jacket.
Exactly, because he's getting older now. And, you know, everybody in the whole town knows Jason and his history and stuff. So, you know, I mean, you know, people just kind of overlook him.
I guess.
He's wanting to, I guess, recapture his youth, so I don't know. But that's what he was messing with that Kitch boy for.
Yeah.
That was so wrong, Jason.
It was.
He needed to leave that boy alone.
He's just mad.
See, he just messing with him. Oh, that is something.
Now, the whole story with the Mickens. I know they're crazy, but I love Melinda Mickens. Love her.
I know. She had me cracking up. Well, Sam may be blood, but he's not family.
He ain't family.
And she had just got through saying, now when you gonna start calling me mama? She had just asked Sam that stuff.
Of course. She's playing it off.
She is.
She played it off and she said.
Is something.
She said, I was gonna end my pregnancy with you, so you gotta thank Jolie for you
and
even.
What a terrible thing to be saying to a kid.
I know.
That is so terrible. You know?
But I love her. I don't know why, but I love the actress playing her.
She is very good.
And I love that whole conversation she had with him. Mm-hmm. Like, look, life ain't fair, but it's your turn.
And it's time for you to suck it
My
up.
My back is thrown out. I can't do it no more. Jolie is all we got.
Mm-hmm.
He could have left.
Says Sam,
and it's your turn now. You're going to do what you need to do.
And she talking about Sam, you know, he think he better than us. And Tommy, well, he is. Well,
maybe the fuck he is.
Yeah, maybe he is, but hell.
But he ain't family.
And he talking about.
And I love Sam. You think he's going to take care of us over the long haul?
That's what Tommy said. I'm not going to be rid of them till they dead.
Uh-huh. Well, he feels bad because when she said, do you want me to be off in the gutter somewhere? And he's like, no, mama.
I know.
You can tell he really loves her, even though she's making him do shit.
Right, because that's his mama.
That's his mama.
I mean, that's like all these people out there that got stepdaddy, you know? They got a stepdaddy.
That's his daddy.
Well, I know that, but still.
Yeah.
You know, some person, that, whether it's your biological father or not, but, you know, some drunk-ass person.
I'm interested to see what Sam thinks he's going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Sam think he gonna do.
I don't know, because you know, those dog-fighting people, they rough.
Yeah, they're not going to take to you. That's the money they getting.
Mm-hmm. They are rough, so, you know. Ooh, but I feel bad for Tommy, though. But,
yeah.
You know, that's...
That's the thing he's got to deal... I mean, we're going to see it all play out. Mm-hmm. We're going to see it all play out.
And little baby Jessica, she is just too cute.
Oh, I know.
But she's learning, though. She's learning on her own. Poor little thing.
She said, I'm not drinking that synthetic crap. I'm going to eat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that lady needed to get chomped.
She needed something.
She was just rude anyhow.
She was very, very rude.
So.
Ain't going to be eating at midnight.
I would have told her that. We closed.
Yeah. It had to be at least midnight because Lafayette got off work at 11.
Mm-hmm.
They had been playing pool for a while.
Mm-hmm.
What her ass doing out anyway?
So she needed
and some curlers.
I know.
You know, asking for a whole full meal.
Well, we got some really great email and voicemail. So,
okay, cool.
Let me start with email.
Okay.
This is from Myron.
Hey, Myron.
He says, hello, sisters. This was another incredible episode. Let me jump right in.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Jesus get off judging my boy Lafayette? If he took the time to find out why Lafayette was dealing drugs in V, he might have seen things differently and not been so quick to judge.
Mm-hmm.
How does Jesus think his mother is able to stay in that facility without a little hustle on Lafayette's part? I believe Jesus is a devil in a summer hat. I trust Lafayette's instincts like no other cast member. Jesus has some shit with him.
Uh-huh.
We just don't know it yet. He will be the Miss Jeanette character this season in terms of bringing back the voodoo element, I think.
Oh, that's a good point.
That is a good point.
That's a good point.
Because he was talking about all those different...
Chilongo and whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Different figures and how he does an offering to them.
And Lafayette said, well, that's the Virgin Mary. He said, like, and he called it something else.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So maybe that was not a little throwaway line when Lafayette said Satan and Sonny Hat while they's in the car.
No, I don't think so.
Might have been some foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. He says, let Tara's redemption begin. She dug down in the well of her soul to strategize her and Sookie's escape.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she doesn't know how to kill a vampire. I do not believe Franklin is dead, and if so, he is going to be pissed.
Mad.
But who knows? Maybe Franklin is a bigger freak than Morena and actually enjoyed having his head bashed in. Do y'all think he's still alive?
Yes,
I do.
And he's going to be mad.
He's
going to be mad.
First of all, the fool already crazy.
And then he's going to be mad that she tricked him into untying her.
Well, he's just going to be mad that she's run off.
Again. Yeah. And this time, she probably makes it out of town.
So she needs to watch out.
Mm-hmm.
Eric should be in Big Brother, Vampire Edition. He's working deals and forming alliances. For example, he's flirting with Russell. He's helping get Pam off the hook by confronting Sophie Ann.
Yep.
He found out how old Talbot is, I think, in case a confrontation between them, and he is also flirting with him.
Yep.
Don't know his overall plan, what his overall plan is, but it's a compelling story.
You know what? Let's stop a minute. And that is an excellent observation that I talked with another person in my office about, and I forgot to mention. I think that's exactly why he asked Talbot, how long have you and Russell been together? Because he's trying to size Talbot up to see how old he is and everything. So now Eric knows he's older than Talbot.
Well, or just to see how maybe strong their commitment is.
He's older than Talbot, so he can rip his head off, too.
Hey, don't kill Talbot.
I know.
Talbot.
But I'm just saying, yeah, that's a good observation.
He says, Sookie may yet have some game in her. Mm-hmm. She conveniently did not tell Russell she cannot be glamored when she was telling him what other powers she possesses.
That's true.
He says, it turns out that Russell is completely misunderstood, sisters. He is really an environmentalist and wants to save the planet from destruction by us wicked humans. Michael Jackson's Heal the World should be his theme music. The most touching scene in this episode was between Bill and Morena when he told her he wished he could have met her before she was turned. Mm-hmm. They played that scene very well.
Yeah, that was sad.
That was kind of sad.
It was sad.
It was. I am still not interested in Sam's story or Jason's. Although I understand where the writers are going with Jason and Crystal. Mm. Keep the podcast coming. I look forward to them every week. A Sister Speak fan, Myron.
Oh, great.
Then he says, P.S. I am not one to say I told you so, but I told you that Sophie Ann set Eric up and not Russell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Russell wants to have anything to do with the Magister if he can help it. P.S.S. The Queen is going down. And you are right, Myron. You did say that in one of your emails.
Yes.
I was talking about how I think the king called the Magister on Eric, but you're right. It was the queen.
It was the queen.
On him.
It was the queen.
And planted that extra blood.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because remember we talked about how big those vials were and stuff?
And he had given all his blood to Lafayette, so.
So, Sophie Ann set up Eric. So, you know Eric's hot.
Oh, you know he's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our next email is from Ivern.
Hey, Ivern.
And she says, hello, sisters. You know I love your show, but I gotta tell you, this one was a long time coming, the last episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is not why I'm writing. You were discussing how Cooter could invite the king into Allseed's home.
Mm-hmm.
He should not be able to. Even if Cooter had been in the apartment before, he still should not be able to invite in vampires. Only Allseed can do that. This is one of the inconsistencies of the show. I am afraid Alan Ball is making quite a few mistakes. Do you remember the first time Sookie laid eyes on Eric? Bill told her Eric was over 2,000 years old. Now they are only talking about him being 1,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, Eric is 2,000. I love this show, and I don't mind a lot of the changes they have made in the show, but they should get things right when they were already mentioned. Another thing they changed was Sookie having a hard time hearing the thoughts of Wares. In the beginning, she told Sam she had a hard time hearing his thoughts because he's a shifter. Now, all the wares are easy for her to hear. That just doesn't make sense. So what do you think of my observation? Thank you once again for a wonderful show, Ivern.
Well, thank you, Ivern, for that email. That's a good observation. You know, I did not recall that Bill had told Sookie that Eric was 2,000 years old.
I think he did.
And
though.
It was probably that scene when he took her to Fantasia.
Yeah,
so I'll have to go back and look when Eric had the real long hair and stuff. I'll have to go back and look at that. But if he did that, then yeah, they should keep it consistent like that. And I would much rather like it that he's 2000.
I think he's more like 2000 years old. I will say I agree with her because in the first season, she did say she can't read Sam's thoughts clearly. Mm-hmm. Because he is two-natured, what they call in the books, two-natured. And she can't read vampire's thoughts. And in the books, also, Wares and Shifters are both two-natured, so that she's not able to hear word for word what they say. She can, like, hear emotions and hear snippets. Mm-hmm. But she couldn't hear
if you recall,
word for word.
Yeah, but if you recall, there was at least one scene, possibly two, that I'm recalling from season one, where she was in the office with Sam and he was talking to her and she was able to read his thoughts that he really was interested in her.
A few thoughts, yeah.
Well, yeah, and I'm not saying every single thing like she can with other people, but she could still hear.
Right.
She could still hear his thoughts.
Yeah.
So
she said this wasn't clear all the time.
Right. And, you know, so I don't find that inconsistent with what she told King Russell, because what she told King Russell was just the basic. She didn't go into detail about, I can only sense their emotions, and sometimes I can't quite hear it. She just said, Wares and some Shifters. Mm-hmm. See, that's what she said.
Now, one thing I do like in the books, which I kind of hope they bring up, In the books, it's true. She can't hear vampires' thoughts. Mm-hmm. But as the books go on, she can understand what they're feeling. And every once in a while, she can understand what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. But she keeps that shit quiet because she doesn't want them to know she can do that. And because she knows that's going to make her a bigger target for shit. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting if they kind of have that happen. I don't know how, but maybe the fact that she can hear them is because her powers, whatever they are stronger or getting stronger now. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what they're going to explain. I can't see that they don't understand. I think that Alan Ball and the people there that are writing, I think they know where they might have had little consistency issues. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to explain it somehow. I can't see them not knowing that they've said Eric's 2,000 years old and now saying he's only 1,000. Or that Sookie said that she can't clearly hear two-natured people. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to somehow explain it by maybe her powers are growing, increasing. Mm. We still don't know what the white light is.
Yeah.
And, this is another thing I thought of, too. When she told the king, when he asked her what other power she had, and she said that she threw that chain and it squeezed the neck, it never occurred to me in the first season that that was other than that was her doing that.
It did me.
It didn't occur to me at all. I thought, okay, she put it around his neck and it just automatically kind of linked up.
No, because
I didn't think about it squeezing him.
Well, but when you, if you go back and think about that scene, she's right. She just threw it.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
She didn't pull it.
She didn't aim it or she just threw it. And that's what it did. So
it wrapped around his neck.
So actually, when she said that to King Russell, I thought that was excellent because
that was.
Then it reminded me of that scene. Yeah. And I thought, wow, because that was back in season one.
Yeah, so that was her power. So she was having some powers back then
that she wasn't really clear on. But, you know, two things. I hope they explain it in season three. Completely, what the little white light is, because I don't want them to do that shit like they did Marianne. Drag it all out and drag it all out.
Well, this is more bearable to drag out.
Well, but, and then, I forget whether it was Ivern's email or Myron's, but I don't like the Crystal and Jason storyline. I have no emotional investment in it at all. I love Sam's storyline with the Mickens, though. I love it.
I do, too.
But I don't care nothing about this Crystal girl. Or her with Jason. I don't know. And I find myself when those scenes came on where, you know, he was walking her out to the woods and stuff, I got up and went and got a drink. Or, you know, I would like piddle around or something. Or, you know, if I'm sitting at the computer, I did a few things first because I don't know. I just find it boring. I don't care. I just don't care.
Yeah, Jason's storyline this season, I just don't.
Yeah, I just don't care. Like but now when the other characters, and even Arlene, I love it when Arlene is on the screen because she just cracks me up.
She is so cute.
And
she was like,
oh no. Her best line is when she was trying to explain to Lafayette how eggs over easy was, and he ran all up in her face and says, "Yeah, I got a problem there. You got a problem with that?" She said, "No." And then when she went and was complaining to Sam about, "Oh, you won't even let my kids have a hamster, but family got that big old pit bull that they was loading in the car," and Sam took out, because, you know, he knows his time. And she was, "Damn, everybody's ignoring me today." Oh, I love it. She just had me rolling.
She is cute.
She just has me rolling.
Now, I like, my favorite line of Arlene's was when she said, "Don't eat me, or don't kill me, I'm pregnant." And then she looks at Jess and says, "Oh, no, that's probably going to make you want to eat me more.
But did you see Jessica? She was so surprised, like, "Oh, a little baby," you know. But, Arlene is a trip, though.
She is.
Oh, she's a trip. And then when she says, "Oh, I don't like to leave the kids with Terry all day
he gets too long.
No, she said he gets too frazzled.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, he's got post-traumatic stress, woman, you know. Anyway.
Okay. Well, we had a voicemail from Denise again.
Oh, great.
And I forgot to mention last episode with her voicemail, she does a Home Spa Goddess podcast where she talks about beauty products. It's really good.
And what's the name of it?
Home Spa Goddess, I think, is the name of the podcast.
Is it on iTunes?
It's on iTunes and on her website, too. So let's hear from Denise.
Okay.
Hey sisters, it's Denise, and I do have to say I was deliriously happy about the amount of Eric we got in last week's episode. Him in his little tight aqua shirt and standing a foot taller than every other person he stood next to. Oh my goodness, I was in heaven. I love the way he was working it to get close to Russell. I cannot wait to see how this storyline pans out. I do not in any way put it past Eric to use what he's got to get what he wants from Russell. So I am really looking forward to seeing how that ends up. I was not expecting Tara to be able to bash in Franklin's head the way she was. I just knew at the last second he was going to jump up. So that was a great shock. I actually expected him to be standing at the bottom of the staircase, but she worked him over. She still could have beheaded him. Like, I don't know where these people are that they don't get the same information as everybody else. That's how you kill a vampire. You have to take their head off. So her and Sookie working over the guard that was guarding Sookie was also fantastic. So I really hope that they get out of what's going on. Thank goodness Tara ran into Alcee, and we get to see that he is a white wolf. So that was interesting. We hadn't seen him turn into a wolf yet, so that was really cool. But I can't wait to see what happens with them either. So love the show, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well, thank you, Denise, for that wonderful voicemail. That's
great. Denise.
And you know, I love the Eric in the blue sweater, too. And yeah, he had a lot of screen time in this episode, and I loved it.
Yes.
He was, and that's what makes it so interesting to me, because wherever he is, he's like a foot taller than everybody else. So it makes him even more foreboding, to me. So, but
And sexy.
But he's gentle with it, though, unless he has to get rowdy. Yeah. Like with Queen Sophie Ann, you know. But yeah, I love Eric, though. Ooh, he was looking good.
We did get to see Alcide.
Butt naked.
White wolf.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Those orange eyes.
Mm-hmm. All of them got them orange eyes, though.
I think they make their eyes orange.
Yeah.
I don't think their eyes can't really be orange like that.
Yeah,
But yeah, and then we got to see his booty.
And I have to admit, though, he looked real good. He looked real good. And he's another one, too. He's taller than everybody else.
Yes.
See, so it makes him really commanding. So he is really cute.
I would like to see him and Eric standing next to each other, because I know they're about the same height.
Me too. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm liking Alcide more and more.
Yeah, he was really good.
So, yes, thank you, Denise. And Denise's website is homespagoddess.com. And she's got a podcast on on beauty aids and different beauty products. And I love watching it to see different ideas and things that I never
heard of. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to check it out.
It's really good.
Okay.
Okay, so we had one more email.
Okay.
And this is from Mr. J.
Hey, Mr. J.
We haven't heard from you in a while.
I know.
He says, "Hey, sisters, I know it's been a hot second since I last wrote you, but as usual, the podcast rocks. I'm so pleased to see that more people are recognizing that you have the best True Blood podcast around, and props to Denise for her voicemail."
Yay!
Go ahead and represent Denise from last week.
Yep.
He says, "I, of course, have a ton to say, but we'll try to keep it short. Suki, I know she didn't get all up in Lorena's face and say, 'I will kill you.'"
Yes, she did.
"I felt like snatching her up and saying, 'Are you crazy?' Snaps for being ballsy, but she is in Russell's house now, and from the looks of it, she doesn't have a friend to save her as yet. Mm-hmm. Just be smart for a minute and don't piss off the crazy bitch." I think she really would love to wear Suki's ribcage as a hat.
Absolutely.
"I have to keep reminding myself that Suki isn't just acting reckless because Bill is her boyfriend. It's because she just lost her virginity with him a few weeks ago." Mm-hmm. "Sometimes I forget that." Mm-hmm. "She's basically in the same emotional state that a teenage girl would be in. Still, don't mess with crazy."
Yep.
"Tara, thank goodness Tara got her groove back. I was so happy when she had the brains to drink a little vamp blood to strengthen herself before she made her next run for it."
Yep.
"Saving Suki was good too, especially considering Suki just continues to make things worse for herself. Maybe I'm not mad at her anymore for trying to beat Suki down. I just really hope they find a way to give Franklin an ongoing role in the show.
Yeah.
He may be crazy, but he's the funniest new character. He's the funnest new character they've had this season."
I agree. I love Franklin.
"Let's face it, being tied up by Franklin is way more interesting than being bored to tears by eggs."
Yes.
Regarding Franklin tying Tara to the toilet a while back, I bet he thought he was doing her a favor. At least she could go to the bathroom while he was asleep.
I know. Did you see that? Did you notice that?
That was nasty.
Oh, that was nasty.
And I agree. You know, we didn't talk about this either, but Tara was smart in having him or drinking his blood so that she could be a little bit stronger and faster to help them escape.
Yep.
So that was a smart little...
And I didn't think of that. Yeah.
A smart little tidbit in the show. He says, "Eric, what better way to get revenge on Russell than to screw his boyfriend and wreck his kingdom?"
Yep.
"I'm quite sure Eric has a master plan. I just can't wait to see what it is."
Me too.
"Oh, and what's up with Pam, Alan Ball? Don't keep us waiting too long now. We will revolt.
I know. They better not kill off Pam.
They better not. Although, what did you say last week that... You heard that somebody's going to...
Well, he had said that some characters are not going to survive season 3.
Oh.
Yeah.
He says, "Sam, the Mickens family is nasty. I don't trust Mama Mickens as far as I can throw her. I don't know if Jolie is molesting Tommy or not, but there is some sort of abuse going on there."
Oh, absolutely.
"You know, I think Sister J is right about Tommy blossoming. He is certainly more likable away from his family."
Yep.
"I hope Sam doesn't get caught up in all their mess, but this is True Blood, so chances are he will."
Oh, he will.
He will. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Now, I don't think Jolie's molesting Tommy. I think he just feels like he owns Tommy, and he feels like he can do whatever he wants or say whatever he wants to Tommy.
I'm not going to say that yet. Yeah, there's more than just him fighting him in the ring.
Yeah, something.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
"Jessica, I still love me some Jessica. She really should be a little more careful about the glamoring and feeding." "Her no tips trick on Arlene was great. It was also sweet that she made her worst customer tip her well."
Yep.
"I hope she and Arlene can make peace, but I doubt it will happen."
I know. But maybe Arlene will
warm up to her.
Warm up to her, yeah.
"Lafayette, I felt so bad that his past came back to haunt him. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Jesus will come back, though. I think they made a cute couple, or make a cute couple, and it's really nice to see Lafayette getting chased by someone."
I know.
"I would have expected him to do the chasing." Mm-hmm. "Last podcast, you were talking about the rules of the vampire entering the home of a human." Mm-hmm. "This is what I think. Any human in a home can invite a vamp in. Tara invited Franklin, and Cooter invited Russell. I think the only reason Franklin mentioned the last owner of Bill's house was because he was the last human there. Mm-hmm. Ownership had nothing to do with it. I don't remember who mentioned Tara and Franklin and him glamoring her a few episodes back, but that wasn't the first time that happened on the show. Bill glamored Jessica's little sister, too."
Yeah.
"That's true.
That's true.
I think that has always been a fair way for vampires to get around the rule."
Yeah.
"The rule is don't look them in the eye if they are at your door." Mm-hmm. "Maybe that is why they keep having Arlene not look at Jessica, to show us some humans have the sense not to do it."
Yeah, now that's a good point.
Then again, I seem to remember Bill saying once that not many humans know about glamoring. Ultimately, I think that's just the vamp. That's just like a vamp to have a secret way to break the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's enough for me. I hope you're both well. Keep on rocking. Mr. J.
Thank you for that email. That was great. And that's some good comments, too.
Very good comments.
Very good comments. But, you know, back to Lafayette, though, it was really nice to see him being pursued like that. And especially for Lafayette to be blushing and kind of vulnerable a little bit, you know. And we see a softer side of him. But also, Lafayette is just Lafayette. He's just himself. He don't try to put on for nobody and stuff. That's why when Jesus says, you're a drug dealer, he just say, yeah. You know, like, and, you know.
He doesn't apologize for nothing.
No, he does not. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really like Lafayette.
I like Lafayette. And he has a good point about the entering the house.
Yes.
Because, I guess it didn't have to be Allseed that invited him in since Cooter did.
And Cooter is human. I mean, he's a werewolf,
but he's human.
As you pointed out in the books, you said they call him two-natured.
Yeah.
So he is human. So he could. I didn't think about that though.
I didn't either until he
But Cooter had also been in that apartment before, because he had been in there with Debbie while Alcee was out working.
Right.
Yeah. So that's from the angle that I was, you know, looking at it, but.
So it's true. They don't have to be the owner of the house to let them in, because Tara let
Exactly.
Him in.
But I still say with that particular scene, I don't believe King Russell even needed an invitation, period. Because
I don't think
he's
so
more than a vampire. And we're going to find out, I'm sure, eventually, you know,
what he is.
Yeah, but he's more than just a vampire.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see what it is.
I know. Okay, so are we going to talk about the previews?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well,
see, when I watched it late.
Uh-huh.
And my DVR cut it off. So I just recently saw I saw part of the preview, but I just saw the full one yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, ooh.
I know. Well, we know. Now, what I'm interested to see is, where did they take Sookie? We know Sookie is in a hospital. She's got IVs going, and Tara is calling Jason to tell him, you better get to the hospital quick.
Well, it's got to be in Mississippi.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
They couldn't, I mean, if she's got to go to the hospital, they can't take her all the way back to Louisiana.
That's
to the
true.
Hospital.
So we know Bill survives because he's telling her, or he's leaning over her bed, or he's in the room somewhere saying, but I can't help you.
Yeah.
You know, so we know that.
You can't,
he can't help
me or something like
we
that.
We also see a little montage scene of Eric is chomping on Hadley.
Yes, he is. And
Eric
queen,
is chomping Hadley.
And the queen is in like a big-ass bird cage.
A big bird cage.
Or some kind of cage.
Yeah, a bird cage is how I describe it. And then somebody is getting ready to poke. It looks like somebody's getting ready to do something to the magister. Because he's kind of grinning and grimacing.
Oh, I didn't. Well, I remember seeing Nan Flanagan.
Yeah.
All dressed up in her black and looking fierce.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And King Russell is getting ready to kill somebody. But I couldn't quite tell where he was. But he has that little. Oh. Okay. I just realized what it is. King Russell is getting ready to kill the magister, because he has got that, you know, that little cane stick that he was sticking Pam with when he had her strung up. And then he says, you know, you got 2 days, Eric, or shoot, die a true death. And he took the tip off of it.
Right.
Russell got that in his hand. And he's saying, now you're going to, he says something like, now you're going to experience the true death. He's got the magister's cane. Ooh.
Oh, maybe that's it. But how is he going to justify killing the magister?
I don't know. I don't really care.
Yeah.
But he going to do it to the magister. So he didn't like him no way.
He don't like him
he
no
way. He don't
how.
Like him no way. And then what else did we see? We saw, Alcide has a gun on Debbie.
Yeah.
And she keeps walking closer and closer to him saying, I will rip you apart or something like that. And he's just still got the gun and I'm sitting there, shoot him, you know.
Well, but he loved her, so.
Well, hey,
But she gone. I mean, she mentally gone now. And he should know that, you know.
There was a lot of good information.
Oh, and then Sam, somebody, one of them redneck men, them hill men who was dogfighting, he's got a gun on Sam. Sam's sitting in his truck, and he's got this big shotgun over his shoulder and said, there's no dogfighting around here. And then the next little montage we see, he's pointing that shotgun at Sam. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I mean, he's not going to just be able to ride up on no dogfight.
No.
If they haven't seen him before, they're going to be suspicious. He's going to have to shift or something to get up there.
And then we see just a little bitty snippet of Mama Mickens, Melinda, and she and Jolie, they're somewhere. I can't tell if they're in their van or what, but they're getting something ready. And I couldn't tell what it was because it just went too fast.
I don't remember that part. Uh-huh. But they did show us a lot of information. I from reading the books, I kind of know where some of the stories are going. But I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, don't tell us.
Exactly how they do everything.
Yeah, don't tell
us. I'm not going to tell.
Okay.
And then a lot of it I don't know because a lot of this stuff is not in the books.
Yeah, so. Well, anyway. it was a great episode, yes. And I just can't wait for the next one. I feel that way every week.
Me too.
Every single week.
Every week. They're just getting better and better. This season is back to the best part of True Blood, which I felt like in season one. Season two, of course, we had all that
Marianne
shit, and it was just, there. Some of the episodes I was like, this is just, dumb. I can't take this crap. But every single episode this season is excellent to me. Every single one.
But, you know, looking back on season two, though, you know, since Sookie and Bill spent so much time in Dallas, then, yeah, there had to be something going on back in Bon Ton. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For people to be interested in stuff and to keep interested in all the characters. So it was okay. I mean, it wasn't a total waste. And Marianne was intriguing, though. But it's just
It just went on too long.
Yeah, it's just the orgies and the black eyes and stuff. It just went on too long.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And then it ended so abruptly at the last episode. So.
But the way it ended, though, was very good. And very believable, too. Yeah.
Well, okay, that's it to the show. That's all I have to talk about.
Alrighty.
If y'all would like to send us an email, please do at sisterspeak@gmail.com. Our voicemail line is 972-692-7341. Or you can send us an audio file by email, which is free. Our website is sistersinterview.com. And Sister J and I are also on Twitter. And we have been a lot more lately. Usually not during the show because we're watching the show.
Yeah.
But I know at least for Big Brother with commercials, it's easy to get on there and do a little tweet here and there.
I don't.
But ours is _SisterJ and _SisterK. And we are also on Facebook, facebook.com/SisterSpeakPodcast. That is it for this week. I am Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.